October 12, 2022. 4:14 p.m. The first thing I want to say, above all else, is that I hate the homeless. Literally and figuratively, everyone says we should help the homeless, but I think that's a terrible idea. An absolute waste of time and money. Maybe that's a problematic thought, maybe not. I don't even know anymore, but all I know is I think it's a bad idea. Pretty much anything else you could possibly think of to do with resources would be better use of resources than helping the homeless. Like, anything at all. Build a giant staircase into the heavens that goes nowhere. Buy every polar bear from every zoo in the world, put them in a giant arena and have them all fight to the death. Pretty much anything that isn't helping the homeless is a better idea than helping the homeless. The homeless are beyond help. The homeless are a lost cause. Everyone needs to stop worrying about them. Maybe we could have them all secretly killed. I say this because at this moment, I'm sitting in a parked car on the corner of NW 4th and Couch Street, watching a homeless woman take a giant soft-served shit on the sidewalk while peeing and singing to herself. I don't know what she's singing. I can't tell. All I know is that eons ago, in a time I barely remember, I watched Two Girls, One Cup, WMV, and laughed at it. But now I don't want to laugh anymore. Oh my. Flutterbutts appear in the passenger seat next to me. She seems horrified both by what she's seeing, but I can't say I blame her. I only slightly less horrified myself, probably because I watched Two Girls, One Cup FLV in order to prepare myself for this, although I hadn't known at the time that it was training. Everything in life is training. Everything in this world is connected. I take a sip of Monster TM Zero Ultra TM to steel myself for my trials ahead. You see? I ask. The woman, meanwhile, pinches off a last steamy beef log and begins rubbing a newspaper along the inside of a crack. She is still singing. You see the ultimate futility of your Marxist ideals? What role would you assign this person? Where would she fit into the intricate clockwork of your ideal society? I, she only stammers. Her long and sensuous pink mane flows around her graceful neck. She sits back on her hindquarters and wraps her wings about her face to ward off the horrible sight. Yet she cannot look away. Tears well up in her eyes. I'm not gonna lie. It's given me about half a shove to see her like this. Even as the homeless woman scrapes the remaining stank off her rancid crack with a copy of the Asian Reporter. The homeless woman tosses the newspaper aside and begins wandering aimlessly up and down the street. Her pants are still down around her ankles, and still she sings, a wordless, atonal caterwauling that I eventually recognize as Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm surprised she knows that song. I'm surprised anyone knows that song. I'm surprised I know that song. All recorded copies of music designated problematic has long since been purged from iTunes TM, and there is no other legal way to obtain music. Oh my god, that's fucking disgusting. An inebriated voice howls from somewhere nearby. I turn my head around to see. On the other side of the street is a tall, thin, scraggly man about my age. From the intoxicated tone, I've been expecting to see another homeless guy, but this guy clearly has money. You can tell because he's dressed like a homeless guy. My iPhone TM beeps beside me. I reach down and examine the screen. Looks like the guy I'm supposed to pick up won't be needing my services after all. Slow day, I guess. I switch the app off and return my attention to the scene unfolding before me. Crack. Smash. A glass bottle flies through the air, bonks off the homeless woman's head, and breaks into pieces on the ground. Instantly, the shores to Freebird turns into a long, unbroken howl of confusion and pain. Not much different from what she was singing, really, but somehow there's a palpable change in her tone. I turn to see the thin, scraggly guy shouting obscenities and waving his middle finger in the air. Shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch. Hey, what the fuck? Did you just throw a bottle at her? The voice of a nearby pedestrian cuts through. As the woman collapses to the ground, holding her head in her hands and howling, various fluids once more spurting from various orifices, a small crowd began to form. This situation looks like it could get ugly. Meanwhile, the guy, who dimly seems to realize that he might have overreacted a little, is swaying nervously from side to side, scratching his head as if in befuddlement at his own actions, as the pedestrian encircled the homeless woman. A few of them turned their attention to the guy, who would be walking quickly away right now if he had any common sense. Unfortunately, he doesn't look like he as if he does. Angry murmurs from the surrounding crowd begin to boil over into shouts and accusations. Several of the pedestrians, mostly obese women, I notice, begin to turn their attention to the confused man across the street. I got the windows rolled up, but I can make out a few words. Privileged. Oh my god, I can't even. Problematic. Holy crap. Is that guy gonna catch a beatdown? Rainbow Doris appears in the back seat and peers over my shoulder. Yeah, probably, I say, watching as several of the pedestrians begin to advance on the poor, befuddled man. I start my engine. I'm about to pull away when a strange impulse seizes me. I roll down my window. Hey man, did you call for an Uber TM? Several people turn their attention away from the guy, giving him a momentary reprieve from the mob justice about to be inflicted upon him. Our eyes lock. He stares drunkenly at me for a second, as if failing to understand what I meant. Then, suddenly, the lights click on and he stumbles quickly toward my vehicle. Hey, get back here, shitlord! One of the heavy harpies notices their quarry escaping and makes a failed grab for the back of his shirt with a flabby claw. The rest of the crowd stands motionless, but I know the indecision will only last so long. I'm putting myself in a pretty dangerous situation here, really. This guy is a fucking white male who have been deemed problematic and sentenced to penance. And I'm a fucking white male too. And if the crowd decides I'm aiding and abetting, there's not much I can do to save myself from that doesn't involve vehicle or homicide. Holy shit, dude. What are you even doing? Rainbow Dars is snickering unhelpfully in the back seat. Flutterbuts is still shaking and rocking back and forth in the front seat, her wings wrapped around her. The poor dare looks pretty deliciously traumatized. I'd probably have more than half a shove right now if I didn't have more pressing things to worry about. I flip off the lock on my doors just as the guy grabs the handle. He tumbles into the back seat and I slide the gear shift into drive just as the door closes. A couple of tubby lasses seem to have figured out what's going on and are waddling towards us, but I maneuver deftly around them. Tires screeching as I lurch around the corner, and just like that, the danger is behind us. The guy groans drunkenly from the back seat. Why am I even doing this? He's not a real fare. If he pukes, then I won't be able to work again until it's cleaned. And good luck getting reimbursed. Hey man, if you're thinking about puking back there, don't. I'm alright, the guy mumbles. I'm sobering up. Yeah, whatever. Where am I taking you? Take me home. He doesn't elaborate. Where's home? I don't know where you live, dumbass. The guy gives me an address in Pearl. As I thought, he's got money. Young, rich, drunk, and stupid. Figures. Well, whatever. It's not like I'm doing anything better today. Fortunately, his place isn't far from here. I drive a few blocks and pull up in front of a swanky, postmodern apartment complex. One of those bulky, boxy designs that's mostly glass and metal, designed to look like it was cobbled together out of yard debris. Where a studio the size of a closet probably rents for a month's worth of my income. I glance in the mirror. The guy splayed out in the on the back seat, his eyes half closed, breathing noisily through his mouth. Rainbow Dars tries to nudge him awake with a hoof, but of course he doesn't feel anything. Hey. He opens his eyes. Here we are. It takes him a couple of seconds to figure out what I'm saying, but when he looks out the window and sees his apartment building, he seems to put the pieces together. Okay, thanks a lot, buddy. He stumbles out of my car, fumbles in his pocket, turns and tosses some money and a business card through my half-open window. We should hang out sometime. He turns and stumbles to the front door. It takes him a painful long time to fish out his key fob thingy to let himself in. However, eventually he managed to get the door open and go inside. As soon as the door closes, my good deed is done for the day. I turn my attention to what he threw in my car. I uncrumble the bill and see that the stout face of Alexander Hamilton staring back up at me. $10. Wow, big spender. I pick up the business card and examine it. Elroy R. $10. Executive coordinator. The address is on the other side of the river. Business is called Splash. Never heard of it. His title sounds like a make-work job, but then again, most of them are these days. Well, whatever. I toss the card in my glove box, where receipts, business cards, and other things I never look at again go to be forgotten. Briefly, I consider hunting around for more fares, but I decide I'd had enough excitement for today. Besides, it's slow. I put the car back in drive and head off toward home. Elroy R. $10. The name sticks in my head for some reason.